You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. You know what that music means. Time to bring in the head coach of the Houston Cougars. And it's brought to you by Chastang Ford, HR&P, and Damaris Barbecue. All good Cougs. Well, except the Damaris's. They're not good Cougs, but they love Dana. And so you can watch a game there, and you can watch it. How about this on ABC this week? The Cougs, a 2:30 slot against Cincinnati. Hey, Coach, what's going on?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Man, we're doing good. How about getting that ABC love?
Yeah, I heard that. Might have something to do with the number six team in the country that we're playing up there in Cincinnati. They're a pretty good ball club, so. A big test for the Cougars is see if we can rebound from a pretty average performance last week.
Yeah, what's the message? I mean, yeah, obviously you were not happy. Heard your comments after the game, and it's obvious when you give a you have that kind of game, you're not going to be happy. So how do you bounce back? What have you been telling? What's the message been for the team this week?
Well, just everybody take ownership. Starts with me. You know, I mean, I got to do a better job of getting everybody ready and prepared. I didn't see that coming. There's been times in my career, you line up, you feel like you might be a little bit overmatched. You may have too many guys out. Your morale is down. There's a variety of things that you may be pretty nervous going into a ball game. I didn't sense any of that, and that's my job to sense that. For whatever reason, we didn't play very good. It wasn't effort. It wasn't preparation. We had a good week of practice. Our guys played hard. We just got outside of ourselves way too many times. Probably the opponent has something to do with that. I'll give Central Florida credit. Their backs were against the wall. They had lost a couple of really close games this year to a couple of decent teams, and they came out swinging. Coach Heupel even admitted after the game that's by far and away the best game that they had played, all year. And we're talking about a team that has won 40-plus games over the last 3.5 years. So, dangerous team, we knew that, but I felt like we're up for the challenge, and we weren't. We didn't play very good. We didn't coach good, starts with me. We got to do a better job as coordinators and assistant coaches of getting our guys ready and prepared to play, not only schematically, but in the right frame of mind too. And then, it comes down to the guys out there that are playing the game. And those guys understand, they watch the video, that they're capable of playing better than they did last week. So, long story short, give Central Florida credit. They're a good program and a good team, but we got to step up and play better, and there's no bigger challenge than going and playing the number six team in the country on the road here this Saturday.
So, that's one of the things. One of the things, Coach, about this conference, what's developed over the last, I think, 3 years, and Houston has been part of this too, is that it's a conference that is becoming more and more filled with teams who, if you don't show up ready to play, you'll get rolled off the field, because there's some teams who can become pretty explosive at the drop of a hat. And I think that's becoming the interesting thing about this conference is you do have some teams that really – can give it to you if you are not on your game, or if you slip for even a half, it can go sideways on you.
It can, and the bottom half is getting better and more dangerous too. I mean, there's been, and Houston's been a big part of this, and it was one of the things that I talked about with the guys here this week. I mean, we're a good team too, and we're a good program too. We've got a couple losses to some really good football teams, and we just got to learn from those mistakes, and we got to get ready to go play. But, Houston was a part of that. What, 4 years ago, we were the team to beat. And then it was turned over to Central Florida, who was the team to beat for a couple of years. Last year as Memphis, that was really good. We had, I believe, 3 or 4 10-win teams in this conference last year. But, the other dudes are pretty good, too. Tulsa's playing at a pretty high level. East Carolina's going to get better and better. I think they're well coached, but we've got positioned right there. So if they're ready to go, if you're not, then you're going to put yourself in a very very adverse situation like we did last week. But, you know, we've had a good week of practice this week. Our guys are motivated, and we need to get out there, and we need to play better. We need to coach better. You know, no better time to do it than Saturday. Don't care who we play.
Yep. Dan Holgerson is here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by Chastang Ford, and brought to you by HR&P right here every week Thursday on ESPN 97.5. Coach, they're, well, they put up 55 and 49 in a couple of games, but for the most part, I mean, it's not like their numbers are flashing off the page, and they are playing unbelievable defense. What are you seeing? Well, first of all, that defense, they give up 20 to Austin Peay, but since then it's 10, 7, 13, and 10. They're just shutting everybody down. What are they doing defensively?
Well, and two of those teams were Memphis and SMU that are, you know, over the last couple of years have been averaging about 42 points a game. So, you know, they're dang good. They're as good as I've seen on video in any conference. In any level in any year. Coach Fickell's going on his fifth year. He's a pretty good ball coach. You know, he's a defensive guy. He's, you know, he's at Ohio State for a long time. He's an Ohio guy. He's turned down probably upwards of about a dozen, I would say, at Cincinnati in Ohio. Probably sitting there waiting on that big one up the road as big as the NFL or whatever. But my point is, it's continuity more than anything. You know, he knows the state well. He's been recruiting at a pretty high level. If you look at their defense, I believe they're starting eight seniors that have all had like two and three years of experience. They're program guys, developmental guys, been in the program for their entire career. Probably three of their most talented guys, 21's a DN, 12 is a corner, and 9 is a nickelback. Those guys are their three underclassmen, and I would argue they're their three best players. So their talent is good, and their continuity is off the charts, and they're old, and they've played a lot of ball. They do a unique scheme that's a little different than what most people are doing. I'd probably compare it more to the, you know, to what we did at West Virginia with the sack type deal, but they have more tight overhang guys that are third-level guys that really aren't interested in coverage because their corners and their nickel is so daggum good man coverage, it allows those guys to back the box. So, huge challenge for us on offense. We gotta be patient. We gotta scheme some things up and be okay with five-yard games. They're tough to big play because they're so talented in the coverage schemes, and then they're pretty stout up front with those overhang guys that run free and make a ton of plays. So it starts with their defense. You mentioned their offense. You know, Ritter's kind of coming into his own right now as the quarterback. Same thing, program guy. Been there 4 years, played a lot of ball, took a lot of snaps. You know, they try to kind of control it, but he's gotten out with some big plays in the run game that have put some guys away here the last couple of weeks. I don't understand. Memphis didn't play very good last week. Now, 2 weeks ago at SMU, that was a pretty tight game going into the fourth quarter, and then kind of like what our game was last week, kind of a tight game, but you knew Cincinnati kind of had the game, and then they put about three of them in the fourth quarter to put them away. Just overall, they're just sound. The kicking game's sound as well, so. Pretty big challenge
here for the
Cougars.
Can you talk a little bit about that fourth quarter thing that you got going on? I mean, we saw it against BYU. That was a close game. And then you look up the score and, you know, what the hell happened? And then UCF as well. You guys are in the football game. What can you change as the head coach to get, you know, to play much better in the fourth quarter?
Well, it felt like we haven't talked about it. You know, I felt like we did that against Tulane. We didn't start very good. I mean, there's another thing as a head coach I got to talk about. Oh, let's start fast and finish faster. I mean, every coach says it. We've focused on it. We've done some things to work on it in practice. Done some things within the game to call them up at the beginning of the fourth quarter and say we got to do a better job and finish and all that. I just think, I don't know, man. Quality of the opponent probably has something to do with it. Guys kind of still finding their way and learning how to do things the right way has something to do with it. you know, going to Navy is a pretty tight game going into the fourth quarter as well, and we finished that thing off as well. So, you know, John, I just think we got to just keep working on it, keep harping on it, and preaching it, and hopefully we got a team full of guys that are motivated to play, and we'll continue to play with great effort and continue to be physical and put ourselves in a situation to be able to get better every week.
That's it. All right, 10 after here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. You go watch your game. They've got all of the college games. They've got all of the NFL games as well. He's got the NFL package, and during your Houston games, he's got $6.95 smoked wings. So if you're looking for a great way to watch your Houston football team, your professional football team, you do that. Chastain Ford. Dana and I are both driving Chastain Fords. I got the Expedition. You still got the Sport, the Explorer Sport?
Yeah, I'm in the Sport right now, headed to work. And when I'm talking to you guys, I don't have to zip around the city too fast. So I take my time to come in. It's a great vehicle that gets me to work.
Yeah.
On time and quick. Those guys are awesome. Chastain's awesome, man. Joe and Patrick do a great job. Just great kooks, but better people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, Mike Holly over at HRMP, huge supporter of the Cougs, and we are big fans here at ESPN 97.5 because they do all of our HR and payroll and everything else, all the taxes and everything else that has to do with it. And that's a great Coug right there in Mike Holly. So those three sponsoring Dana Holgorsen. I got to talk right now about my bookie. If you want to bet on the game, you can bet on the game. You can do all of that every single game, every election. You can bet on every pro game, NBA game, Major League Baseball game, soccer game, rugby game, every religion. Who's going to be the next pope? It's unbelievable the number of bets that you can make at mybookie.ag, promo code radio, with the best odds that you'll get and the knowledge that when you win and you want to get paid, it's easy to get your money. Okay, that's a key. When you want to pull your money out, that the bookie will pay you. And that's what mybookie.ag promo code radio does. So all you got to do is go to mybookie.ag promo code radio and start to play. You deposit $1,000 and they'll match that $1,000. So you got $2,000 to play with. No other bookie is doing that. You want to play and win and get paid and you want to double your initial deposit, mybookie.ag promo code radio.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Dana Holgorsen brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, Chastain Ford, and HRMP. Art has a few questions on Twitter for you. He wants to know who you voted for. Did you I don't think you'll probably say who you voted for or whatever, but he just wanted to know. Wanted to know if he thought you could beat up Luke Fickell, too.
He's a big dude now.
Sleepy Luke Fickle.
Sleepy Luke Fickle, he said.
He's a pretty big dude. I don't think I'm going to test him on that one. I don't really talk politics or any of that. I tell you, there was a big NCAA initiative this year to take Election Day off for the players. You know, we normally done it a couple of different ways. We've had Sundays off, you know, and then you work Monday through the rest of the week, or you come in on Sunday, which is what we're currently doing, which is what I prefer, and I like it a little bit better. But you come in on Sunday and you kind of kill the game and you get it over with and go outside and practice and just turn the page. You think it's important to turn the page, whether it's good, whether it's bad. You know, the guys are really quiet on Sunday. I mean, they knew. And it was a disappointing loss, and we know we didn't coach the best way, and we know we didn't play the best way. But we got out there and had a good day on Sunday. It was a quick turn to Monday. We went out and practiced Monday night. I was happy with our preparation. I was happy with the way we prepared. There was, you know, we talked a lot about just improving our sense of urgency, but we needed to just based on the fact that we had less time to game plan because we were, boom, getting into the game plan with practice on Monday night, which was, you know, we're out there pretty late, but I was happy with what the preparation was, you know, and that gave us the ability to be able to give them Tuesday off to, you know, exercise their right to vote here in this country. And that was a big thing with what our players wanted to talk about, you know, when things were crazy around the country, you know, a couple months ago. That was one of the things that our players expressed that they wanted to do. And so we allowed them to go register. We brought the ability for them to be able to register to vote here into our building. And, you know, every one of our players registered and every one of our players went and voted. So I was proud of them with not only, you know, having that initiative to have the right to be able to do that, but then following through with it and going and doing it. And I thought it was the right call for the NCAA to give them the day off to be able to do so.
That's neat. That is good stuff. Yeah. Players are more and more socially aware, I think, than they were in the past, aren't they?
Well, they are. It has everything to do with social media. I mean, these guys they're on their phones quite often, you know, obviously, you know, and the amount of information and things that are happening are just so easily and readily available for them that they don't need me to inform them. They don't need, you know, shoot, it gets to a point to where they don't rely on their parents as much to inform them of what's going on in the world. So they're educated on it. And they know what's going on, and they wanted to be able to, you know, have their right to go vote, and they did. And interesting to see what happens.
Yep. Dan Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. Let's talk a little bit about your defense. You were excited about this defense, and you know, and they played well at times, played pretty damn well. At times against Tulane and against Navy, and discipline kept their lane discipline and everything else. And then in the BYU game, obviously that's a pro quarterback, I think, that's playing there. And then last week too, that was a lot of yards. But there's some mistakes going on. What's not clicking with your defense?
It's just we lost our mind out there. Bottom line, Dylan Gabriel, you know, I didn't know how I felt about him last year, but, you know, this year, that dude played his tail off now. I mean, he was extremely accurate. They got some receivers that could go. The thing I was most impressed with them is they controlled our front, which our front was kind of what was the bright, shining spot to some of those games early on. And, you know, we elected to play probably a little bit too much coverage and allowed them to just go 5-on-5 in the box, and their easy stuff was just way too easy. You know, they were 5-for-5 up front and got their running backs out, who both those running backs went for about 175, but both those running backs are like 10-200 meter guys. So you get them past the initial line of scrimmage and they got 20 yards on us, you know, like that. So, you know, we got to coach better. We got to put our guys in better position to be able to make plays. But we missed too many tackles, which was uncharacteristic for us. Now, there's more space to be able to do so with faster people carrying the ball. But these are all excuses that nobody wants to hear. We got to be able to figure things out on how to defend that type of an offense, which is, you know, kind of one of a kind in college football right now. There's not a whole lot of people doing it. It can stall out. The one thing I think we did good defensively They got their yards, which they normally do. They average 700 a game. But what happens with that is they fizzle out. And that happened in the red zone with us. We had been giving up too many touchdowns in the red zone. But we stopped those guys 4 out of 6 times in the red zone and made them kick field goals. That's why we were in the game in the fourth quarter. You know, it didn't necessarily feel like it because they were going up and down the field on us. But we did hold them to field goals in the red zone. And we came out and we had a good third quarter, which kept us in the game. Unfortunately, offense just didn't do their part. You know, we had to be able to score more points to be able to compete with a team like that. We didn't. So, you know, and special teams didn't help at all either. You know, missed the field goal, didn't get anything in the return game, and our net punt was pretty average as well. So, it ain't one side, which is why it's on me. I got to do a better job of getting these guys ready to go. Hopefully we got their attention a little bit, and we'll get better and play better this week.
Dana Holgorsen with us here on ESPN 97.5. And Clayton didn't have his best game. Where is Clayton in your mind right now?
Yeah, he didn't. He's capable of a lot better than that. I mean, he's fine. He's coachable. He's good with being hard on him and telling him, look, you're capable of much better than that. You know, he got antsy early for whatever reason. You know, he'd sit in there and he'd make great throws, and then he'd sit in there and he'd miss reads and make bad throws. So just, you know, he's no different than the rest of them. I mean, we got to coach him better, and we got to work hard on those guys playing better. And probably the overall theme more than anything is we just got to do it a little bit more consistently. We can't, you know, have a 3-and-out on defense and then give up 4 explosive plays in one drive and have them score a touchdown. And then come back out and hold them to a field goal, and then boom, you know, they're big play, touchdown. They just, and then offensively, you go out there and you can't sustain blocks, and you're sitting in there and the quarterback makes a good throw, and then, you know, it's a first down, and then boom, misses 2 throws, and we got a punt. I mean, just the inconsistency of what happened is just something that can't exist. We play good teams. We're going to continue to play good teams. And if you want to be able to put yourself in position to win these things, we got to coach and play way more consistent than we did on Saturday.
How is Marquez Stevenson?
He's out. You know, that was that's a blow. You know, we rely on him so much that, you know, he gets you know, first I was so interested in watching that matchup. 31 for Central Florida is a pro. You know, the Robinson kid that he signed with Alabama. He's been playing for UCF for, I believe, 3 years now. I'm surprised he didn't come out last year, but he's a really good player, and I was excited to watch that matchup. And, you know, the first real matchup that we had, Marquez ran a really, really, really good slant route, worked the route good, caught it. Thought he was going to get out, and 31 dove and kind of twisted up his ankle right there. So, you know, he was done for the day after one catch for 9 yards, and he's in a boot, and it'll be week to week. You know, hopefully we get some more snaps out of him. He's just so much fun to watch, and so vital to our program in being a team captain and you know, doing what he does offensively, but the return aspect of it as well.
Does Keith Corbin have to pick it up?
He does. He does, and I was happy with Keith. You know, Keith's another one of these guys that I really feel is getting better and better and better and better. You know, it's just got to be more consistent. You know, he caught a ball and got it down to the 10, then dropped one the very next play. So just more consistency, but his timing with Toon is getting better. He's a senior, means something to him, so he's got to step up. We're getting Jeremy Singleton back. He was gone for the last 2 weeks. You know, he's one of our top receivers, and then Bryson Smith has been here and made, you know, he stepped in for Marquez last week and made a couple of first down catches, which was good. So hopefully he's settled in and we get some snaps out of him. Tank Bell, number 4, showed up a little bit last week. So we got some guys. Nobody cares if anybody gets hurt. Just put the next guy in, and you need to perform well and do it at a high level. So I've been saying that to our team since June, especially 2020 and COVID. You know, we're going to go in and test tomorrow. We were good on Monday. We were good on Wednesday. We got to do it again on Friday. And if guys, you know, if they're not available, they're not available. somebody else needs to step in and play. And you got to do it at a high level if you want to be successful. So, you know, we're not going to use any of that as an excuse. We're going to take who's available to go, and we're going to line them up, and we're going to play them and see what happens.
That's Dana Holgorsen, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue, brought to you by HRP, and brought to you by Chastang Ford right here every week on ESPN 97.5. We'll be watching on ABC. Got the nationally televised game against Cincinnati. They're pretty darn good. So that's going to be interesting, Coach. We're rooting for you, and we hope come on back with a win.
Okay, sounds good. Appreciate it, guys.
There's Dana Holgorsen right here each week on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by those people that I mentioned right there. And, Lance, Texas, well, you could watch it on – because it's on ABC, you can watch it on your patio.
Yeah, I could actually watch on a variety of channels on my patio. My patio is not ABC specific, but it is Texas Custom Patio specific. And that's the company that built my patio. Pretty much everything Stephen Schell said would be the case. You'll probably wait for a couple months to make a decision. Then you're going to get, you know, kind of overwhelmed with a desire to add this to your house and make it a home. And everything was right. I've got... And this is pretty standard, to be honest with you. They put a big screen TV out there for you. The surround sound system is out there for you. You know, and you can listen to your music. A lot of times, I'll listen to music. I'll watch my draft stuff out there. Hook it up to the TV, or the kids will sit outside and have dinner out there and watch. Or I'll even, you know, entertain out there on the patio. It's great to have a patio that looks that good. But not only does it look great, I want to tell you, it's going to maintain its value for you. So this isn't a swimming pool where you throw money in there and you don't get your money out. This does add a tremendous amount of value to your home. And at Texas Custom Patios, they give you a timeline and they give you a price point, and it doesn't change. Whatever the price is, that's what it's going to be. There are no hidden fees. There are no add-ons. That's what the fee is going to be. That's what the charge is going to be. And their timeline is very consistent because they're meticulous and they're great at what they do. TexasCustomPatios.com. The best patios being built in the state of Texas today. If you don't believe me, go to their site at TexasCustomPatios.com and look at the before and afters, and you will be a believer. TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, 713-780-3776. Gilbert wants to get in here. See, what do you think Gilbert wants to talk about there, Del? You don't know? Yeah, because there's nothing up there. Hey, Gilbert, what's going on? Gilbert, are you there? Here, turn it up. Let me see if he's snoring. Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. Lance, have you ever heard Gilbert snore? You don't.
Lance is snoring.
Is Lance snoring? Is that Lance snoring or is Gilbert?
I think it's Gilbert.
Are you sure? It sounds like Gilbert snore. This happened on the Michael Kay show. Was that it?
He called Michael Kay?
No. Somebody fell asleep when they were going on, I think it was the Michael Kay show. And they thought, it's unbelievable. How could somebody calls in and then falls asleep? We've been doing that.
What?
We've been doing, Gilbert, that's not Gilbert. That was Gilbert,
hang up the phone.
What?
That what never gets old.
No, it doesn't.
Why is Northern Illinois dropping the ball all the time?
I don't know. They don't want anything to do with that Buffalo Bison action.
No.
What?
I mean, that two fumble returns for touchdowns?
Yeah, if you missed it, everyone, the Mac is back.
Mac is back.
Football on Wednesday night.
A lot of action last night. All the games were on.
What?
All the games were on.
What?
Almost every game was on, Gilbert.
What?
You know, that's
I'm not going to do this anymore, Gilly.
None this, of your business anyway.
None of your business anyway. What? Why is Gilbert calling and then falling asleep? I just don't get that.
He was on hold for all of 5 minutes, so you know. That's in the danger zone.
And that is the danger zone. You can't put Gilbert on hold for more than like a minute because he will fall asleep on you. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 if you want to come in and snore.
When are we going to start hearing about baseball moves?
You what?
When are we going to start hearing about baseball moves for the agency? I can't with you, Gilbert.
Don't keep doing what? Okay? We can't have a conversation if you keep on.
What?
It's impossible to have a conversation.
You can have a conversation over his persistent snoring, but this is a problem?
What?
Yeah, for some reason.
Okay, fine.
I would just hang up on Gilbert snoring, too. No,
I think that's adding some great background.
I think it is, too.
Because we're talking baseball.
That I don't mind. It's the what thing that's got to stop.
We're talking baseball. It's appropriate that there's some snoring going on.
Well, that is kind of appropriate.
When are we going to see some free agency moves, though?
Are we seeing managers getting hired? I'm telling you, this offseason, Lance, you're not the uncertainty of, you know, unless I'm the Mets with the guy that Cohen, who has $14 billion, I don't know that I'm spending wildly.
But
it was kind of crazy last year how much like Mookie Betts went for. And,
is there an official start time? Like, have we started? When are we kicking this off?
I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe there is. This is a
let's go. No fly zone.
I don't know.
It's like when you know you have to get a shot and you're a kid and you're like, God, I do not want the shot. And you want to avoid it. The best thing is just to hurry up and just get it done. So it's the waiting makes it worse. Losing George Springer is like waiting to get a shot when you're a kid. I just want it. You know what? Just get it over with.
Well,
sign somewhere and I want it to be done.
Free agency started November 5th.
It starts right after the season.
Yeah. Well, it's been.
No, you said November 5th?
November 5th. It's November 1st. Excuse me. It's ongoing.
Oh, okay.
Currently.
Well, has anybody signed?
I haven't seen.
I haven't seen anything. You know, and maybe that's it. Maybe it's COVID. And I don't know that you want to be, okay, you're a big name free agent. You're going to be a $25 million guy. Do you want to be out there right away signing, or do you want to do all your due diligence? And
No. You get out there and do your. If you don't get the early money, this is true in every sport. If you don't get wave one money first, you get squeezed out. That's what happened to Dallas Keuchel. I mean, you've got to get your – if you're a big-name free agent, you go get the early money as quickly as you can because that's when teams have the money.
That is true.
So, George, I mean, if it's the Mets, then he's going to get paid. But if you're the Mets, if there's not a bunch of – how do you treat that? I mean, you could potentially have a lot of leverage to drive down a better deal. That's what you're supposed to do. But is there a reason that they would pay him more than the market will bear? I mean, the players always want to get what the market will bear, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay. But right now, don't the owners have the advantage of the market? The market won't bear a certain number. Don't they have a right, and isn't it their job to find out what the market will bear and offer that, even if it's lower?
You know,
easier to build a team and make a profit.
Yeah, well, I mean, profit right now? I mean, well, yeah, I'm
assuming it's not going to be this way for all of Steve Cohen's ownership.
No, I guess it, no. Dude is going to spend money. I don't think there's any question. I did see George Springer going to the Braves, though.
That's out there too.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a great fit for him. That's a perfect fit and better fit than the Mets, because the Mets have got some pretty good outfielders, so I don't know why they would do it. How that would happen. But
I don't think the Braves are going to the Braves are going to be losing some players too, so they're going to have some money to spend. I think George is going to be between a 22 and $24 million player is my guess. At his age, I would have typically said $25 million, but I don't know. With COVID, I think it's going to get driven down just a little bit.
Yeah. Well, again, is it somebody with money? Who's, you know, somebody with money, it's going to have to be obviously somebody with money, but, you know, the agent is hearing right now. What's the market for George? What are you guys talking about? The agent knows. So anybody comes in a little bit higher, or, and maybe this is why nothing is happening, is because nobody's budging on this thing and going, well, we're going to go crazy. Again, I was amazed at Mookie Betts' deal. And some of the other, there were a couple of other deals last offseason that you were just like, what the hell? How are you spending this kind of money in these times, not knowing with this uncertainty of what's going on here? And you guys are throwing money around like this. I mean, crazy money. So I would imagine it's baseball. Owners are dumb. They will spend money. George is in a precarious situation, though, with the COVID. 31 years old, finally getting out on the market, and, you know, and wanting a long-term deal. I mean, So those things don't all match up. Those things all, I mean, there should be a huge market. He should be number one guy, and he should have a huge market for him. And I would imagine it's kind of quiet.
You think we're going to see a five-year deal?
I do. I think, well, I'm saying I need a five-year deal, because if I'm going to get out there again at 34 years old 3 years from now, I ain't billing big money. At 34.
Realistically, I think a 4 year deal is the smart thing for a team. If you're George, you want five plus. I think it will be five. My guess is it will be right at about maybe 110 million, maybe 115 million. If it's the Braves, do you see the Braves as a $25 million a year team for George?
That's a good question.
That's a sporty number. Does Jim Crane have money?
Are we
crying poor, or what's going on here?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to talk for every baseball owner. I don't want to speak for Jim Crane's money. I know he's spent money.
But I know they've been in the playoffs and gone deep. And other than this year, they've drawn people into the ballpark. I know they've made money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
always had guys on good deals.
Yeah, I can't speak for Jim Crane's money.
Why are we assuming that Jim Crane has no money and can't do anything?
No, but I think the writing's on the wall with George and with Brantley. But I think
they might want to leave, to be honest with you.
That could well be. Well, George was going to sign. Dude, George was going to sign this spring, and it just didn't happen. So now he wants to leave, yeah, and he wanted to leave before. He was pissed at the organization, obviously, for bringing him up late. But Carlos Correa, I'm telling you here and now, Carlos Correa is going to be a long-term Astro.
You really believe that?
Yes.
What has changed?
Something has changed. I'm just telling you. What has changed?
He finally got rid of that team cancer, George Springer. I mean, no. George Springer's his homeboy.
Well, no, but I mean, there will be money. Here's the thing. It's all about timing. This is an off season where, again, you had no fans. You don't know that you're going to have fans next season. Correa is going to be coming up on a year where you get out of Greinke money, you get out of Verlander money, and you're going to have people in the stands for sure in 2 years.
And how much is he going for? You still think it's lower, or you think it's
no,
higher?
I think he's going to get paid.
Yeah, well, I think he turned
a big corner with fans, and I think he turned a big corner with the organization.
Look, realistically, though, John, it is still the same. I mean, if you really lay it out and you make an honest argument about it, in a shortened season, Carlos Correa did not hit great in a shortened season from a power standpoint. He stayed healthy in the 60-game season, played great in the postseason. But he's played great in postseasons before. I mean, he's had moments in postseason, which is why I love him, is because he's just such a, you know, he has postseason balls, and I love that. And he's an elite Gold Glove defensive player who just injuries have prevented him from ever winning a Gold Glove because he doesn't play enough games. But this is still, even in given, and you are right, and we've talked about over the years, it's been a talk in just Astro conversations. It could come down to George or Carlos. And that's kind of what it might, if I'm reading you right, that's kind of one of the things we're seeing here, is that if George leaves, it paves the way for Carlos money to be available. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the timing of the pitcher deals that you're talking about. But, you know, it is a little – Springer has been the guy that's been consistent. Springer's a guy with the OPS. Springer's a guy that is playing most of the time. There's no question that Carlos is the guy who does not consistently hit with OPS numbers. Carlos is the guy who does not consistently stay healthy. Those are facts.
Do you think there's a chance?
That's not an opinion.
Do you think there's a chance that Carlos turned a corner this offseason?
I
think so.
What do you mean by offseason?
I think, well, in this postseason. I think Carlos turned a Carlos may have given himself, put himself in a new, you know, listen, it's not only the confidence that everybody has in him now, not only seeing what he did, but maybe Carlos too. Maybe, I mean, especially Carlos. Carlos walked up to the plate and said, I'm going to end this game right now, and did it.
Yeah, I want to see it in a regular season. I want to see him keep that same energy for the whole regular season, though.
Well,
I don't understand how he hit 700-something OPS this year.
Well, maybe it carries over. Maybe that kind of confidence, maybe that I'm the leader, maybe that swag, all of those things now carry over. Let's not stick our head in the sand about Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve was that guy who walked up and knew he was going to get a hit. This year, he was a wilting flower.
Yeah, but this is crazy, though, because you understand that in one sense, you're trying to ignore 7 years of Jose Altuve, but then you're saying Carlos turned a corner based on a short, like, well,
no, I'm
eight,
just talking about
12
your head.
Playoff games.
I'm talking about your head, your mindset. Yeah. We saw Jose Altuve just fall apart this year.
Carlos fall apart 2 years ago.
Right, we did, and he's bounced back. And he's bounced back.
And I think Tuve will, too.
Well, I do, too. Yeah. I do, too.
If you're talking about the throwing stuff, this kind of thing can carry over
into next season. This kind of thing can make him just feel differently about himself. Now, he's got to stay healthy. And this will be. Listen, if you want a big deal from the organization as your first-time free agent after this season, well, you better stay healthy and you better put up numbers.
All right, let me paint a picture for you. You tell me how you handle this. Carlos misses 20 games. He plays 142 games next year, which is not a big reach, I don't think. Let's say he misses 20 games. He plays 142. He ends up hitting 21 home runs. His OPS is in the low 800s. What do you do with Carlos Correa?
Well, that's interesting.
Because those home run numbers are what he... career-wise, this is what we see from Carlos. Low 20s. I think 24 is the most home runs he's ever had. And that was in his best career, which was 2017, which many Astros had their best careers in 2017 from a hitting standpoint. I'm looking at a consistent pattern of 20 missed games. Not the end of the world, but it is something we've seen. Low 20 home runs, maybe 22 home runs. And then his OPS is just over 700, which is in the neighborhood of where you'll see it. Low 800s. Let's say 817 or 821.
Right. His career is 833.
So it's not power. We don't see power. What are you doing with him then? What are you giving him? Because nobody's paying $25 million for that guy typically.
No, I'm not sure that Carlos is a $25 million a year guy.
But what if he asked for that?
Well, then you're, I mean, if he's a free AU, you're going to have to let him walk. Well, you maybe do something with him this offseason. Carlos is not. He's a 276 hitter. He's an 833 OPS guy. You're right. He averages 20. He's right around 20 homers a year, right in that neighborhood. You can't count this year. He had 102 homers over 5 years. He averages right at 20 homers a year. That's right. What he's averaged. But again, he needs to take a step. He took a step this postseason. And hopefully he takes a step.
Shouldn't this year be a prove-it year, though? You don't give him an off-season deal in this off-season.
No.
Right?
Unless you can get him for a bargain. I mean,
now,
right
if you
now,
get him from a bargain, you take that chance.
Yeah, you take that chance. If you get him, listen, you thought that he's going to be a $20 million, $25 million guy when he becomes a free agent.
I think if New York wants him, I think New York will pay. Either New York team. He's a Puerto Rican kid with great personality, good-looking guy, still young, phenomenal glove, would do amazing. You know, New Yorkers would love him. because of the Puerto Rican, you know, fan base there. I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned about Carlos Correa getting a bunch of money in New York, especially from the Mets now.
I could see it. I could absolutely see it. So maybe you lock in on him at 500.
I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, right.
And I'm sitting here telling you, I don't know that Carlos has been a show and prove $20 million a year guy, but I'd be willing to wait. I'd be willing to bet on the upside for Carlos at that price tag. To me, you have to do that. And he's a huge leader on the team now, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, 845 ESPN, 97.5, someone 370, and he's a champion. We know he's a champion. And I know that you can be a champion, too. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving. Save. Stop with the paying more. Oh, well, it's cool out. I'm not worried about my air conditioning. Yes, you're still worried about your air conditioning. I don't know about you, but we still got it on 68 every night. Every night. And here's the deal is I pay less. I just pay less than you do. It's unbelievable how low it is. And I'm just telling you, you will love Champion Energy once you're with them. If your contract is up with your company, you might not even know. My company, Champion Energy, they tell me when my contract is up and they say, hey, we got a better rate for you. Here, sign, lock in. There's a better rate. Well, who does that so that they make less money on you the next contract? Who does that? Champion does. Champion.energy/1560. You'll love dealing with them. Champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So I was listening to Fred and AJ yesterday. Boy, they had an ugly, ugly time. And they had a couple of segments where they were talking about the Texans fix. And I think, they got hostile in here a little bit. Fred, I think Fred called him a dickweed or something. So the argument was that JJ's like, this is a long-term deal. There, you cannot fix this in a hurry. There is just no way to fix this in a hurry that this can turn around. And I would now... The lack of two first and a second next this upcoming draft really, really hurts. But there are a lot of contracts that you can turn here. There are a lot of contracts that you can get out of. You'll have some dead money, but I mean you can get out of deal. Here's the problem. My basic problem with the Houston Texans is who's outplaying their contract right now? Who is outplaying? So you need I mean, you don't have any really young players at any positions that of. I mean, Will Fuller is probably gone as a free agent after this. You got Cooks and Stills and Cobb, and you got David Johnson and Duke Johnson, and where are the guys that are? Oh, you've got the most expensive left tackle in the game. You played your center the third highest in centers in the league. You're getting probably value out of your right tackle, but your left guard that you were supposed to, you know, that was... You can't even
get on the field.
Can't get on the field anymore, so you're paying, you know, free agents that were...
Honestly, John, I don't know that anybody is outplaying their contract.
Deshaun.
Well, but he's not outplaying the contract you just gave him.
Well, no, he's outplaying what you're paying him this year.
Yes, but I guess technically... But he also has a ton of guaranteed money coming. So, well, not a ton, but he's got a lot of guaranteed money coming. There really is basically nobody. I mean, it's not Zach isn't. Most of them, in fact, I would argue, are underperforming their contracts.
No, right. I mean
Titus Howard is not overplaying a first-round contract.
No, but he's starting for you as a first-rounder.
Yeah, he should.
Right. I mean, Whitney Mercilus...
No.
Bradley Roby.
No. Brennan Scarlett's not any good.
Zach Cunningham. Kaimi Fairbairn.
No.
Eric Murray. Zach Fulton. Duke Johnson.
Weeks. I guess John Weeks probably.
John Weeks is a million-a-year guy. That's a snapper, a long snapper.
When's the last time you saw him make a bad snap?
But it doesn't matter. It's $1 million for a snapper.
Yeah, because he's been in the league forever because he never had. Honestly, do you remember a bad snap by John Weeks during his career?
No, he has not had a bad snap.
Worth every penny you pay him.
Well, okay.
To never have to worry about him. Because once you get a good long snapper, they last forever. I mean, they last forever. People are having their kids try to grow up and, I want my kid to be a lawyer, stupid.
You're paying
a long snapper.
You're paying your kicker $4 million a year, 4.75. You're paying your punter 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, Lance.
Wait.
2.4,
are you really?
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to win phase three. You're trying to win the third phase.
Oh, thanks. I mean, there is literally. I mean, is Justin Reed outplaying his 1.1?
No.
I mean.
No, he's not. He was individually responsible.
Is Dylan Cole outplaying his 2.1?
No, he's always close. He's always on the verge of death.
Is Brandon Dunn outplaying his 3.5?
No. Nobody is. And in fact, I didn't bring this up. So as we're talking, this happened last hour. I have
Tyrell Adams is out playing 810,000.
I have a pro personnel director. He's in charge of a team's. We've talked about J.J. Watt before. I asked something about J.J. Watt trade value, and this is what he sent me today at 7:42. It's all of the Sarah Barshop article where she quotes what J.J. said. I personally believe that.
Uh-huh.
Why don't you play it? Actually, let's play the audio of what JJ said, because that's what, and then I want to play off of that, because this guy started making some comments about JJ Watt, and I want to bring him up and get your thoughts on him.
Well,
so let's have Del pull up JJ Watt's press conference where he was, I don't know what the question was, but he responded.
Well, I can tell you what the question was.
Okay.
It's actually the sixth question down. There's a statement for. Oh, by the way, Jacob Martin has
COVID.
Here it's JJ's sixth question is 2, 3, 4, 5. What are your thoughts on? What is your approach and mentality on wanting to finish your career with the Texans?
Okay. And do we have the audio ready to?
He's getting it. You have to tell him this before the segment starts, Lance.
Well,
our equipment is not like.
I got you. Well, JJ, basically, I can read it. It's not really.
Well, you want me to read it? I can tell you exactly what he said.
Well, it says, I've got it here. He goes, I don't think it's any secret I don't have 10 years left in this league. I personally believe that I do have a few more great ones left in me, but you also can't. I'm not looking to rebuild. I'm looking to go after a championship, and that's what I want to do. So whatever's in the best interest of the Houston Texans, that's in the best interest of myself. Now that runs contrary
that
to what he
contrary.
Just said. That runs contrary to what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
But this is so this guy quotes, you know, he copies and pastes that, and this is his comment. And I'll just go through what we were talking about back and forth. He said, "JJ is all I and me." I said, yeah, he's pissed off. We open our radio show with that soundbite. He wants to get traded, and the Texans won't consider it. I would have tried to move him to Green Bay. Could you get a 2 for him? The guy did not answer that. He just said, to me, it's the selfish part of him. Wonder why they never got over the hump. He has to be the center of attention all the time, and he's making it all about himself. The general manager, if they had one, should call him in the office and tell him to shut the bleep up and play ball. We pay your ass a lot of money. And then I said, your team should give a first for him. And he goes, no, ha ha. So I tried. I did what I could. What do you think about that? What do you think about an NFL team thinking that's kind of a selfish move to do that publicly?
Well, I'm telling you, we're seeing a new. This is a different JJ. The JJ who gets a tackle for loss on third down and they're off the field and he's pissed off walking off the field. I mean, of course, the score was out of hand.
When did that happen?
Against the Packers. They stopped him. They stopped him three straight times, but they were still behind and the offense couldn't do anything, so they didn't do any, they didn't get a rat's nothing done. But JJ's walking off the field and he's pissed. I'm looking at him. He's just like he's not celebrating. He's not doing a salute. He's not doing all those, you know, and having fun. JJ's pissed. JJ has been pissed off now for weeks.
Do you think when he came into the league and had they had a great 2011 team? The 2012 team won a bunch of games. They weren't as good as 2011, but they still won 12 games, I believe. And JJ was good in 11, was great in 12. Do you think he thought that was just, of course, 13 was a disaster. They started to get it back a little bit in 14, 15, you know, got made some playoffs, but they never had good quarterback play. Do you think JJ thought 11 and 12, like this is how the NFL is going to be?
Right. No.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the injuries add up, the age adds up, and now I can't listen. I hear that pro personnel director or whoever he is, I hear him. And this is I and me, shut the bleep up. We pay you a lot of money.
JJ answered a question.
How about this? Yeah, and how about this? How about, you know what? You got to hold up your end of the bargain too, organization. You guys suck at what you do. You guys have sucked. And now I'm sitting here with one win in a season because we suck at what we do. And I'm playing as hard as I possibly can, and I'm still going to play as hard as I possibly can. But you think I'm going to sit here and be a good soldier and say, oh, everything is just fine. Texans, woohoo! No, rah, 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 Texans, let's go. First down, Houston Texans, first down. We got a first down, everybody.
That's another Houston Texans. They string them together.
I don't know. It's been so long since I've been here.
Houston Texans. Fast.
But when we're down by 30 and we're getting another Houston Texans first down.
Hey, now
who gives a rat's ass? And oh, by the way, you guys are wasting my flipping career. That's what you're doing.
I'm going to let you in on a dirty little secret here. This is true. Somebody listening to the show just texted, and this guy would know. He said NFL folks have always thought JJ is selfish. For years, he did his own things and didn't play within the system. That is accurate, and there JJ would freestyle and shoot some gaps and do some stuff instead of playing his run fits because he was looking to make plays. And I get it, but at some point you still have to play your role so that other guys can handle their roles, because JJ will do some things that would lead to bust in the run game. And then this guy says Cushing hated him because he always left him out to dry, which I assume meant first level, second level stuff that he wasn't in his run fit and that Cushing had to. So I could see where Brian Cushing could have got a little frustrated with JJ. I've heard that before, that, you know, Cushing thought it was his defense and then JJ kind of came in and took over it, and there was some frustration there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, but listen, there's two sides to that story. JJ's like, you guys are wasting my damn career. You want me to sit around like Andre Johnson and just, it's okay. It ain't okay.
Well, yeah, but handle your run.
I want to win championships. Get me out of here. I'm a winner. I'm not like this organization. I'm a winner.
No, I get all that stuff. But when you play football, though, the other thing has been an issue with defense coordinators for the Texans and D-line coaches who say, JJ, please handle your responsibilities on this. This is not about you getting your stats. We need you to play your run fit. That's not good. JJ and Clowney would do that stuff, too. Both of them. We're out there hunting for their plays. You can't do that as a defensive unit. That's neither here nor there now, to be honest with you. But that is something that has been out there and inside the Texans building. That's not the first time I've heard that. The Texans have had those issues with him.
Yeah.
Great player, but that is considered one of the selfish things, is do what the team needs, not what you want.
Well, I got to win my MVPs. And I'm going to get my Hundy.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't win defensive player of the year how many times?
Three times.
By staying in your gap and, you know, playing responsibly.
Right.
You go out and get your numbers.
Yeah. And you want me to just listen? You want me to listen to Wade Phillips? Okay, whatevs.
Excuse me.
How many defensive player of the years?
Three.
How many does that random player personnel guy have?
Zero.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. I tell you this. I got my.
Who sent it to me? Mean Joe Green. So do you have some more thoughts now?
Yeah. How many defensive player of the year awards did he win?
You mean Joe Green don't have three.
Thank you.
Lawrence Taylor, maybe.
Yeah, it's Mean Joe Green.
Now I got other people listening. This isn't even the same guy. Like, yeah, JJ's taught his little brother TJ the same thing. People on the Steelers say he's selfish and foregoes run assignments. It's like rolling downhill. Well, I'm glad to hear football people are listening.
Can they tell us about Derek Watt? Yeah, is he selfish, too?
What's Derek like? Derek, just block the guy. You're a freaking fullback.
No.
Stop going out for passes all the time.
No, I'm catching mine, baby. And where did TJ finish last year? Second? Where did he finish last year?
Yeah,
last
the Watt brother's just making plays. That's all.
That's all. He's
Watt
making plays.
Just get sacks.
Yeah, those. You know what those personnel guys ain't doing? Making plays. You know where I'm making plays? At Chastain Ford. I'm making plays at Chastain Ford. I made my play on an expedition. I got the best deal in the barn. But you can get the best deal, too. You know that commercial with Aaron Rodgers and, oh, I got the Aaron Rodgers deal. No, no. There ain't no John Granato deal at Chastain Ford. You know what they did for me? What they do for everybody. They get you into the vehicle, that Ford car or truck, at the best price possible. They got 20,000 off on the expeditions right now. What does that mean? It means you're saving money. I'm telling you, you are going to get the expedition at a price that you're going to find. Well, I got to go to a bigger dealership because no, you don't. You're going to get the deal that Ford gives them. And oh, by the way, Chastain Ford is growing and growing and growing, and they're getting all the cars. During this pandemic, they've had cars. While other dealerships have been like, well, we just don't have any cars. Chastain Ford has had vehicles because they plan forward for it. And they're still giving the best deals that you're going to find in the city. Unbelievable, the XLT right now for $29,999 or $499 a month with nothing down. That's ridiculously low. You find all this stuff at ChastainFord.com where you can buy online. Other places you can't. Or you can go to the dealership itself. It is clean. They're sanitizing. They're social distancing. And you can feel and touch all the cars. You'll love it. Chastain Ford. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can shop online at ChastainFord.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.